Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, where business leaders in Raleigh come to tell their stories.
Hello, I am your host, Ann Ravel Petcher, for the Metro Raleigh Business Radio. Reed Powell, our producer, is here in the studio with us today. Hello, Reed.
Hello, Ann. How are you?
I'm very good. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a fabulous weekend.
Excellent. And isn't it not great to have Cal Hackman back in the studio?
It is so good to have Cal back.
And it's great to be back.
I can't tell you
how excited I am. It's wonderful.
So no, seriously.
Thanks for letting me have the month of July off. I really appreciate it.
I missed it in him. Hey, we have a really cool show here today, Cal. We have two folks from Wireless Design and Development Magazine here today. We have Megan Zumba. Hello, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming down and joining us.
Thanks for having us. I'm really excited.
From Wisconsin.
Yep, Madison, Wisconsin.
Very cool, very cool. And Glenn Sundin, who's the publisher. Hello, Glenn.
Hi there.
And you came from Jersey.
I came from New Jersey.
By way of some beautiful islands down in the Mediterranean?
Perhaps.
In the Caribbean?
Perhaps, yes.
Yeah. Very nice. We're going to have a conversation about what Wireless Design and Development Magazine is all about in just one second. But first, we also have in the studio Jay Finkelstein, who is the CEO and founder of Method Savvy out of Durham. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're there in the hustle and bustle of downtown Durham and all the cool development stuff going on down there.
Right in the thick of it. Yes, absolutely.
Are you guys like right on Main Street? Where are you?
We're right off Rigsby near Full Steam.
Oh,
good part of town.
Speaking of beer, mm-hmm. Nice. So tell us about Method Savvy. You're a marketing firm, right?
Yes. So Method Savvy is a full-service data-driven marketing agency. And what we do is help growth stage organizations build repeatable processes for revenue growth.
Okay. So you got a couple phrases in there and need a little bit of explanation. When you refer to growth stage companies, what are you thinking about?
Sure. So let me answer that actually in two ways. So first, they're primarily mid-market organizations, so very loosely $5 million to $1 billion a year in revenue.
Okay.
But more so than size, it's about stage of operation. So these are organizations that are looking to cross the chasm, if you're familiar with the term,
sure.
That have grown organically to a large extent. Oftentimes, they have a great sales organization. They do a lot of trade shows, but they're really looking to take it to the next level and to get some scale. And those are the companies that we service.
Oh, cool. So you're data-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that mean in the world of marketing?
It's an interesting question. So, oftentimes when I get asked that question, it's, well, isn't all marketing data-driven? And I wish.
No, it's definitely not.
But the easiest way to explain it is that there's an old John Wanamaker adage where he says, I know I'm wasting half of my advertising dollars. The problem is nobody can tell me which half.
Right.
Well, there are now processes, procedures, and tools that allow you to understand what's working and what isn't. So quite frankly, you can do more of what's working and less of what isn't. And that's based on both primary data sets, so customer and prospect data, as well as third-party data that's available for lease. So it's about iterative testing and optimization so you can make better decisions, lose a little bit less, win a little bit more, and create that unfair advantage.
So you're a full-service agency, so you do more than digital.
Yes.
How are you measuring things that are non-digital?
So that's a very interesting question as well. Quite frankly, it's easier to measure in digital it is in traditional.
Expectations are a little higher there.
Yes. And also the cost structure for measurement and testing is different in digital than it is for traditional. However, there's lots of good ways to do it. So especially if you're doing direct response work, so direct response television, direct response mail,
okay.
You're looking at whether or not there is the action that you want, a purchase, a lead created. But there's also lots of pre and post campaign surveying that you can do to measure change in sentiment and behavior, as well as market share analysis.
So you're busy all the time proving to your clients the value you're bringing to the table.
As we like to say, it's results you can bring to the C-suite.
Very nice, very nice. So you obviously utilize a lot of data.
Yes.
A lot of different technologies to get to that data. Tell us what we're using today that we weren't using 5 years ago, and what are we going to be using in 5 years that we're not using yet.
Oh, geez, that's another good one. So it depends somewhat on the size of company that you are and the sophistication that you have with those tools. Most of us are very familiar with web analytics platforms like Google Analytics and others, although you would be surprised how the size of organizations that haven't quite mastered that. However, there are also lots of other data sets. So these days, many companies, especially mid-market companies, are investing in customer relational databases. Mm-hmm. So Tableau, Cognos, and others, where they're really, it's not quite big data. It's still small data, but where you're looking for relationships between actions, demographics, behaviors. As you move forward into other kinds of data that's going to come to the fore, we were speaking a little bit before the show about the Internet of Things. I'm mm-hmm. very much excited about the kinds of data that brings available, because you can basically track anything online. When you get into Internet of Things and options like iBeacon and retail tracking, it's going to open up a whole new world of data set for marketers to understand interests, behaviors, outcomes that you simply can't do effectively or certainly cost effectively right now.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. I think about all the different things that are coming out in terms of, I mean, almost everything's going to be called an Internet of Things thing. I mean, even what we would have called an app suddenly becomes an Internet of Things component, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and also it's just about the kind of data that's being tracked. So, you know, I have friends that have wearable technology companies and, you know, the impact it's having on healthcare and healthcare marketing. Or, you know, I mentioned iBeacon, so tracking when somebody walks into a store, or where in the store are they, and how you serve
how
a better message to the, you know, better to the right person at the right time. It's fascinating.
So, so you mentioned, I think, $5 million to $2 billion is kind of the range of the companies, but can you give us some examples, not necessarily names, but types of companies that benefit most from what you can do for them?
Sure. Well, I would argue that every company can benefit, whether they're working with us or anybody else. I think a data-driven approach is the new model for marketing and advertising, where you're part artist and part scientist. For Method Savvy specifically, we do a lot of work with B2B organizations with long sales cycles, technology companies, and e-commerce companies. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that these are organizations that tend to be highly attuned to measuring cost per lead, cost per acquisition, and lifetime value of a customer. You know, we have clients in other industries like retail, consumer packaged goods. Processes tend to be a little bit different, but when you're looking to scale, most of those organizations are looking for more leads, higher quality, faster sales cycles.
Yep. And it's all about results.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, everybody wants to get results. It's great to have all the activities, but if you don't get results, you know, it doesn't make a difference.
Well, yeah, and it's a big business strategy problem as well. There's a interesting study from a year or so ago from the Fournays group where it says that 78% of CEOs don't believe that marketers are accountability oriented. I find that amazing.
Maybe that's why we always get cut first, right?
You know, you're exactly right. And that's why my favorite people to talk to are CFOs.
Yeah. So so you're the founder.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about starting the company and how long you've been in business and what are some of the challenges you've had growing the company?
Certainly. So I started Method Savvy just over 5 years ago. And prior to that, I ran a creative and lifestyle marketing agency out of Manhattan called Universal Buzz. And prior to that, I actually came out of the music business back in the late 90s when people went to record stores and bought CDs and vinyl. But I started...
So you weren't the one recording, not behind the mic.
Well, actually, I did a little bit of that as well, but it turns out I was terrible.
So, really?
Yes.
I don't believe it for a second.
So moved into working with major labels and then went over to Universal Buzz. But we work primarily with entertainment brands, lifestyle brands, and Fortune 1000 companies. And back in the doldrums of the economy, you know, late 2007, early 2008, I was hearing from our clients all the same thing. I have half the team, I have half the budgets, but I require twice the accountability. Yep. And I started thinking that there had to be a better way. As much fun as it is to get a group of really smart, creative people to brainstorm, do market research, fundamentally, you're taking an idea and you're throwing it against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there was a better way, and that was the genesis for Method Savvy.
And so what have you done to grow the company?
So a number of things. Like all successful professional services businesses, we get a lot of referrals. You know, good work tends to begin opportunities to do, do more good work. But however, we're also very targeted in how we approach new geographic regions and new industries. So we work nationally. In fact, we have some international clients. But, you know, being a mid-sized agency, it's a lot easier for us to service clients on the East Coast. So we do a lot of professional networking, trade shows, content marketing, selective sponsorships. Interestingly enough, we don't do a lot of lead gen work that's advertising driven.
Interesting.
Most of the advertising work we do is brand related, content related, and sponsorships.
And what would you say? You give us a kind of a big success story, you know, that one of your clients would brag about if you asked them to give you a testimonial.
Sure. So, so the one I'm thinking about is actually for an e-commerce company out of the Southeast, and they're a large art supply dealer, and they have both a wholesale brand and a consumer brand. So when we were brought in, it was actually initially on a analyst and business strategy standpoint. So unlike most agencies, we actually do a lot of strategy and consulting work. And they had a very standard problem in that, you know, they were looking to scale. You know, they're one of the largest in their industry, going up against, you know, the giants like Michaels and others. And they were operating on a very siloed basis. So they had one group of people doing digital advertising, one group of people doing direct mail. They had another group of people internally doing email, and it became this hodgepodge. And they were managing results based on those individual silos. So when we initially came in, it was help us integrate, you know, help us understand how we can make 1 + 1 = 3. And we became involved. Over the course of the last several years, in addition to integrating, we've actually taken on more of those responsibilities. So now we handle all of their advertising. We do consulting work on their email, quite a bit of design work. And the results have, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but have really been fantastic. So even just in year over year, I was actually talking to my ad ops guy this morning about it, and we're up about 30% year over year in terms of revenue.
That's fantastic.
That's a, you know, very hard thing to do in the e-commerce space, but you know, we have a integrated waterfall model where I'm reasonably sure that for every dollar we get from this client, we can give them about $6.80 back.
Well, that's fantastic.
That's exactly what people want to see. And it's interesting, you know, Cal comes out of the world of accounting. You talk about wanting to talk to CFOs. Is that really a door opener for you, is to go straight to the CFO?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, whoever controls the P&L is my favorite person to talk to, because we speak the same language.
Yeah, that's
and
really
actually, we do a reasonable amount of work in the CPA space with some associations as well. So I'm very familiar with the industry.
It's a very challenging industry.
You guys have been growing, and recently were noted as one of the best places to work in the Triangle.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. I mean, the Triangle's a pretty dynamite place to work in general. So how do you get to be the best place?
Well, I don't know if we're the best place, but we're, according to the Triangle Business Journal, at least, we're one of the better ones. But, you know, first and foremost, you know, we're certainly honored to have the recognition, and I'm just thrilled that my team likes to work with me, more so than anything else. But for us, you know, I hire adults, and I treat everybody like an adult. You know, I want brilliant people that have that Skunk Works mentality, that get up every day and want to make a difference. You know, they're not only, you know, building our business, they're building our clients' businesses.
Right.
So, you know, for us, we have a culture that's based on honesty, transparency, and accountability. So those are our core values, and we live and breathe those internally and externally. And also, I don't think failure is a bad thing. I think failing the same way twice is a terrible thing. That's a really great way to make me angry. But failing once is not a problem at all. My team understands that. You know, I want people to take calculated risks and learn quickly.
Oh, that's great.
It's a great business model.
Sure is.
Oh, yes.
You've been a great guest. I want you to hang on here, because we may have some conversation going on afterwards. But thanks very much for joining us.
If
somebody wanted to get in touch with you to talk a little bit more about this data-driven marketing concept, how would they do that?
So the best place to go is our website, which is methodsavvy.com, and all of our contact information is there.
Excellent.
Thank you
so much. Okay, Glenn and Megan, first of all, thanks so much for coming down to the Raleigh area.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do. We thank you very much.
Tell us why you're here.
Well, first we're here foremost because there's an EMC show going on, and EMC stands for electromagnetic compatibility, and that's a huge topic for us in the wireless industry, especially with everything that's going on with the Internet of Things, miniaturizations of certain components, antenna design. It's a big topic, so we're here to meet with companies and
learn
more
and connect.
About the industry. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Glenn, tell us a little bit about the publication. Tell us what wireless design and development is and why you exist.
That's great. Thanks. Thank you very much. Well, interestingly enough, you mentioned publication. And in today's day and age, a publication might be thought of as a magazine, but we don't actually look at it that way at all. We look at a publication as being a brand. So wireless design development is a brand that targets design engineers, generally in the print version in North America, goes out 6 times per year to 36,000 design engineers. And that's excellent, but we have to look away from the fact that it is in print because Megan and her team up in Madison, Wisconsin, actually put together content real time. So they are posting new products. They're posting news every 10 minutes, every 15 minutes on the website. So it's very exciting. So
your website has become your publication, if you will, a little bit more so than just print.
Exactly. And it's not necessarily just the website because she has a daily newsletter that goes out to 34,000 design engineers every day and has an open rate of 20%.
Wow. Yep. Congratulations. That's a good open rate.
Yeah. We're really excited about it. And I think it's because of all the different products that we bring to the brand. We're one of the few publications that actually do video content. And we have a weekly video series called The Hotspot that we do every Monday. And basically, we're just picking 4 exciting stories that are occurring in the industry, and we break it down like ESPN does, kind of on their ticker. And we make it kind of funny and quirky and exciting. And then we also do an interview series called The Hot Seat, and we're talking to design engineers themselves or CEOs or executives of certain companies. And it's kind of like Skype, but we do it on the Google Hangout platform.
Oh, okay.
And it's generally between 10 and 15 minutes long, and it gives the company an opportunity to express their personality and what's important to them.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, kind of promote what's new and exclusive from their companies and a different way to connect with the audience as well for them.
What kind of companies do you cover?
Anywhere from like antenna companies, test and measurement, military aerospace companies.
Power companies.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Battery companies, enclosures.
Connectors. They can be fiber optic. They can be coaxial.
So it's all the things that makes up the world of wireless.
Correct. Right.
All the components.
It's not just the mobile communications, and I know that's one of the big misunderstandings of our name, wireless design and development. A lot of people are like, oh, it's just the mobile communication space, and it's everything underneath that as well, too. So anyone from the microwave RF industries, the cable industries, interconnect industries, we touch base on all of those.
And we would say that someone would read our magazine not only and our website and our newsletters to find out what to put into their products, but also how to use them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really interesting. So what kind of editorial opportunities are there? There's obviously newsletter, news.
Yep.
I assume that's pretty much news, right? Your newsletter is pretty much news, not features, or?
It includes all of it. So most of the news that we get are from the AP Wire, but they touch on the wireless industry and the microwave RF industry. We also do blogs, either written by myself, our associate editor, or from executives in the industry or design engineers as well. So those are kind of like our guest blogs. And then we also have product releases. So someone can send us a press release on a new product that they released, and we basically just repurpose it into the format that we have and set it off with a brief synopsis of what that product is, set by the major features of it.
Wow. Okay.
And then we do video content as well. And then I think that's pretty much covered. Oh, and tech features.
And
we
tech
also have
features.
Tech features.
We also launched our first, we're very excited about this, WDD Live in June. And that was actually a live panel discussion taking place at the IMS, International Microwave Symposium Show.
Cool.
Where we had a panel of experts talking about the connectivity of automobiles and the future of that. So it was very exciting.
So let's just go down that road, no pun intended. Let's talk a little bit about the connectivity of automobiles. I mean, we hear about advances that are being made that will make cars obviously safer, will make driving safer, will eliminate driver error, all that sort of stuff. Tell us a little bit about what's coming.
It's actually a pretty exciting time for the automotive industry because a lot of people think, oh, wireless cars. Immediately they think about the infotainment side of things, yeah. where you can actually talk to your car and they can bring up the radio stations or maps or things like that. But with the vehicle-to-vehicle communication, they're creating components where cars can actually talk to each other as well as the infrastructure around them. So not only will there be components on the roads to help communicate with the car, but they'll be able to talk to other cars. So let's say if a driver behind the wheel is either falling asleep or is intoxicated and veers off a little bit, the car has the ability to sense that, and it can either shut down the car or create an alarm system or of some sort to either wake the driver. Even as far as the concept of, you know, communicating with the police and letting the police know, hey, oh, something's going on with this driver.
And is this all sensor-based?
Sensor-based, there's a lot of antennas involved. Even the power management is involved because there's going to have to be some type of battery or energy harvesting component to help power these systems and keep them working.
Let's jump over to life sciences. We've heard a lot about technology advances and how technology is driving advances in medical treatment and life sciences and whatever. What's the latest and greatest there?
Well, our last issue that we just released for the July-August print issue, Stanford is doing electroceutical devices, and basically they're little implants that you can insert in someone. So they can actually measure what is going on in a person's body. And one of the major challenges in doing that is the power management system. So they needed to come up with a way, how do we power these itty-bitty devices inside the body? So they're doing a lot of testing with energy harvesting components, wireless charging. So like they can have like a pad somewhere, and then you can just have that over the body and that will charge it wirelessly. So there's a lot of different like concepts that they're coming up with, and it's really exciting because I mean it's going to help cut back on hospital costs, hospital visits. It's going to bring doctors closer together with their patients because they can actually connect one-on-one. Instead of having to go to the doctor all the time, they can just directly connect with them. And then it also makes the data available easily. So doctors don't always have to have patients come in. They can actually just look up their record right on the computer.
Yeah, it'd be great if you could sort of see the doctor without going and waiting in the waiting room with all the other sick people, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that would be great.
Exciting. So, well, and how many times have you gone to the emergency room or the hospital with something you thought was a lot more serious, but it was like just a simple head cold?
Right.
So
they look at you and talk to you for 10 minutes, and then they tell you to go home and wait 3 days and you'll feel better. Right?
Yeah. Take some DayQuil. You'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, let's talk about the company. So how did the company get started, and how are you growing the business?
Well, actually, Wireless Design Development is not a company on its own. So we're actually owned by Advantage Business Media. And Advantage Business Media has been around for approximately 8 years, and we are among over between 20 and 30 brands within Advantage Business Media that span in different areas. So we're part of the design group, and within our group are four magazines, four brands, which are Wireless Design Development, Electronic Component News. It's been around since 1956.
Yeah.
Goes to 110,000 design engineers, more broad-based in North America. We also have Product Design and Development, and we also have Medical Design Technology, which goes to design engineers in the medical space.
Right.
So, and then within the company, we'll certainly not name all the brands, but we range from we have a communication group, which focuses, we have their Wireless Week, which is more on the infrastructure side of things, CED, which is in the cable industry, and then there are magazines. We have a, believe it or not, a magazine/brand that talks about laboratory animals.
Oh,
so
really?
This is how...
So not just lab equipment, but literally how you take care of the animals and which animals to choose. And
it's a whole industry.
Wow.
Yes, and that's also have we have lab equipment, now that you mention it, a brand called Lab Equipment.
Very cool.
And Continuity Insights, which is both a brand and an annual trade show that talks about continuity plans for companies. Yeah. So there's a wide range within the organization.
So when I was flipping through the magazine before the show, I noticed that there are a lot of advertisers there, a lot of content, a lot of advertisers. How do you attract advertisers? What's your value proposition to the advertiser to support the brand? I'm going to stop calling it a magazine and call it a brand.
That's great. So interestingly enough, if you look at our brand, what I think is most intriguing is that if you look at the editorial content in the magazine and on the website and in the newsletters, a very low percentage of that content is actually related to the advertisers, is actually their content. Megan and her team do an excellent job of covering everything. They have full editorial integrity, and you will find that when you read the magazine and when you read our newsletters. That's the key point.
So it's not all submitted articles?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, we get submitted articles, but from an editorial perspective, I'm huge on actually connecting with our readers, and some of our readers are the advertisers that are included in our publication.
Of course.
And I'm a strong believer in relationship building. So I'm not just getting a story from someone and that's the end of our relationship. Like, I'm keeping communication open with them for the entire year and years after that, because that's the only way that you're going to get better is if you have those open relationships with the people that you're doing business with. So, I mean, I love what I do because I get to meet so many people and continue to talk to them. And
you're on the cutting edge of your industry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it seems like you folks are driving the thought leadership in this segment
absolutely.
Of the economy,
yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is fantastic.
That's great. Tell us, how would people, so specifically helping to understand your audience a little bit better, it's all designers and developers who have this broad range of access and development for different components in the wireless industry. Did I do that right?
Yeah, I think you did. And when someone subscribes to our book, they have a choice of receiving it in print or in digital format.
Okay.
And they actually don't pay for this. It is a controlled circulation, but they need to tell us what they do, and that's how we decide who receives the magazine. As long as they are in that space and they qualify, then they can receive the print or the electronic version.
Gotcha. Tell us a little bit about some of the new things that you're working on. You're doing a lot more video now, is that right?
Absolutely. We have a great video team back in Madison, Wisconsin. They actually expanded it into the Jersey office as well, too. And they're a lot of fun to work with, and just the quality that they produce, I think, is what gives us a huge stepping stone in the industry, because there are other publications out there that do video, but I think our quality sets us apart from what they're doing. I mean, we're not just using a regular point-and-shoot camera. We actually have real cameras that, you know, have the audio in place, and they know what they're doing with the audio, and they know how to do different effects with the visual as well, too. And, I mean, we can create so many different angles with all the cameras that they have. I think that adds another perspective as well.
That's got to be really helpful for your readership. I guess, do we even call them readerships anymore when it's video? But your audience.
Right.
But I'm also thinking that's probably a really beneficial thing for your advertisers.
Absolutely. I mean, even with the connected cars conversation that we had back in IMS, we were able to open up three spots for different sponsorships. So it was kind of like watching a TV show on television, and then you have your commercials in between the segments. So it's a really great opportunity for them.
And as Jake was saying, the importance of the internet and digital advertising is measurability. So we can measure everything that is done. So we know how many people viewed the pre-roll of the advertiser. We know how many people watched the Megan's video. And we know how many people clicked on the pre-roll.
Right. So I'm guessing that the data-driven marketing is really positively impacting your business.
Mm-hmm.
especially our business, because if you look at our business, over 50% of our revenue actually comes from digital media, which is not normal for a business-to-business publication.
That's huge.
So, and then another opportunity that we're working on is our WDD Live Awards. Like, we're hoping that will come into effect next year. So we're just kind of waiting to see if that's something we can move forward with. But we're really excited about it because it's going to bring in different companies and what their innovative products and components are. And we'll be able to present that at IMS hopefully next year. So
that would be great. Yeah. There's just not a lot of chance for recognition in that space.
Absolutely not. And I mean, a lot of people are really excited about the concept of it. So we're just hoping that we can move forward with it. And
we're working on it.
Yeah. Excellent.
So you're here for a trade show here in Raleigh. Would you like to just say a little bit about the trade show and what it's focused on, and why one of the folks listening to the show might be interested in going to the trade show?
Absolutely. EMC stands for electromagnetic compatibility, and it's a huge topic in the wireless industry because, one, the Internet of Things is exploding. You know, wireless medical devices is a huge topic. 5G, I don't know if that's going to be something touched on at the show, but that is a huge topic as well, based on spectrum availability and broadband availability. So anything that is exchanging and receiving information, you're going to have some sort of signal, and you don't want interference with that signal. So when it comes to the Internet of Things, or, you know, electroceutical devices in the medical industry, I mean, you don't want to have something in your body and then have interference shut that off.
Right.
Because, I mean, that could be very detrimental and very dangerous. So, and especially with the Internet of Things, you don't want to, you know, have your house do a certain thing and then someone be able to, like, hack into that. You know, you don't want to have an interference in the signal, because it could, you couldn't get in your house, or something bad could happen with the smart appliances or something like that. So,
and it even goes to outside the consumer space, to the military space. So if you are designing an unmanned vehicle that has a sensor in it that needs to guide it at a certain certain compass heading, this sensor needs to be designed so there's no interference, because it may go by a building that has rebar in it, and that rebar will affect the compass. So you need to know that that vehicle is protected from the electromechanical, electromagnetic interference. So it goes from the consumer side all the way to the life-critical military aspects.
So that's part of the big value you guys are bringing to the table for your readers, for your audience, is just being able to make sure that you're thinking through those things and know what new things are on the horizon.
Absolutely. And another big thing, too, with the military is the GPS system. That is something that they're trying to design beyond, because there's limitations on GPS technology, and you can't have that. Like, for soldiers in the battlefield, like, you can't have those limitations. So they're trying to design new technologies. And actually, DARPA is doing a lot of different programs for different technologies that will help expand on the GPS technology.
Well, I'm sure glad this all came to Raleigh so we could get a chance to meet you and learn more about your environment. If somebody wants to learn more about wireless design and development, what's your URL? What's the best way to reach you?
You can actually visit our site at wirelessdesignmag.com. I don't know if our contact information is on that site, but I don't know if you just want to give it to him right away.
Absolutely. So you'd contact, if you have anything editorial, you would contact Megan Zimba. Megan, megan@advantagemedia.com. And if there's anything on the marketing side or on the reach, you're trying to reach the design engineers, you'd reach out to me, Glenn, glenn.sundin, sundin, @advantagemedia.com, and you can find all that on the website.
Great. Thanks very much for being here, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
And you too.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a great show. Thanks, Kel. Glad you're home.
Yeah, it's great.
And we'll be back again next week. This is Anne Ravel-Petcher signing off for Metro Raleigh Business Radio.